Welcome to the Deep Dive. We take interesting sources, dig into them, and pull out the key ideas so you can get up to speed fast.
And today we're diving into something I've spent a lot of time thinking and writing about, this core concept I call set the speed limit. Fear speeds things up.
Right. And our mission today is really to get under the hood of that idea. How does intentionally slowing down actually work?
Yeah, and how does it connect these seemingly different things, like projecting authority, handling pressure in poker, and even building better habits? It's quite surprising how they link up.
Okay, let's start there. The speed limit idea and authority. You've identified five cues: movement, appearance, confidence, connection, intent. But let's focus on movement. Why is slowing down physically so key for authority?
Well, think about what happens when you're scared or anxious. What does your body do?
It speeds up, right? Fidgeting, talking faster, maybe pacing.
Exactly. Fear puts us into a kind of overdrive. Our gestures get jerky, our breath gets shallow, our thoughts race. It's a natural, almost primal reaction.
Yeah, I can picture that. You feel scattered.
Right. So the speed limit is about consciously counteracting that. When you choose to slow your movements down, I often suggest imagining you're moving underwater. It sends a powerful signal.
Underwater, that's specific.
It is, but it works. It forces a deliberateness. And that slow, controlled movement, it just reads as calm, as confident, as being in control, even if internally you're battling some nerves. It projects authority without having to shout about it.
Okay, I get the underwater thing. It forces mindfulness on movement. What about posture? You mentioned a trick with the car's rearview mirror.
Ah, yes. Posture is huge for perceived authority, but it's often unconscious. Slouching looks uncertain, maybe weak, but being ramrod straight can seem stiff or aggressive.
So how does the mirror help find the balance?
Simple, really. You just tilt your rearview mirror up a tiny bit, forcing you to sit taller to see clearly. It naturally aligns your ears over your heart, heart over your pelvis. Good posture without forcing it. It just looks composed.
Composed. That relates to your composure pendulum idea, doesn't it? Avoiding the extremes.
Exactly right. Think of a pendulum. On one side, you have posturing, too much ego, maybe overly aggressive, trying too hard. On the other, collapse, pulling back, looking defeated or insecure.
Too little ego, maybe.
Perhaps, yeah. Or just overwhelmed. True authority, true presence is in the middle. That's composure. And applying that physical speed limit, that deliberateness, helps anchor you right there. It stops the pendulum swinging wildly.
You mentioned Andy Griffith as an example, Sheriff Taylor.
He's a great example. Think about his presence on screen. Calm, measured, never seemed rushed, always thoughtful. He projected this quiet confidence, this centered authority, just by his demeanor.
And that Marcus Aurelius quote about his general Maximus, he was never in a hurry. It shows this isn't exactly a new concept.
Not at all. It's timeless wisdom. Rushing often signals a lack of control, internally or externally. A measured pace suggests strength, conviction, someone who doesn't need to scramble.
Okay, so slowing down physically works for projecting authority. How does this translate to something like poker? That seems like a high-speed, high-pressure environment. Yeah.
The environment's different, sure, but the core principle holds. Fear and pressure make you rush, and rushing leads to mistakes. In poker, maybe more than anywhere, controlling your mind and your body is critical.
Because fast actions give things away.
They absolutely can. Slamming chips down, betting instantly.
Yeah.
These things often telegraph anxiety or maybe false bravado. It's rarely a purely strategic move. It's usually emotional leakage, you know?
Yeah, you see someone snap call and you immediately start analyzing why they were so quick.
Precisely. On the flip side, maintaining a calm physical presence, deliberately slow movements that can put pressure on your opponents. It's just you're thinking, you're in control, you're not rattled.
So same rule applies. Move like you're underwater at the poker table.
Basically, yes. I will not move any faster than if I were standing in a swimming pool. That's the mantra. Even if your heart is pounding.
And the benefits there are.
Well, quite a few. Better decision making, for one. You give your brain time to actually process the situation. It helps regulate your breathing, which keeps you calmer physiologically. It projects confidence, even with a weak hand. Crucially, it helps mask tells. And it gives you more time to read them.
And the composure pendulum fits here too, avoiding the extremes.
Absolutely. You see players who are constantly bluffing wildly, aggressively, that's often posturing, driven by ego or maybe desperation. Then you see players who fold at the first sign of trouble, playing scared, that's collapse.
So the goal is that composed middle ground again.
Exactly. The BIC players operate from that center, calm, calculated, steady. They make decisions based on logic and observation, not emotional swings. Like I often say, the calmest person at the table usually end up controlling the action.
It's fascinating how that simple physical act slowing down ripples outwards. So what's the underlying psychology here? Why is the speed limit so effective?
Well, it helps to think about the brain in simple terms. You've got the older, more reactive parts, the brainstem, the emotional or mammalian brain focused on survival. Then you have the neocortex, the thinking part.
Then under pressure, the emotional brain takes over.
Often, yes. Especially with fear. It triggers that fight-flight-freeze response,
yeah.
And suddenly your rational brain gets, well, sidelined. That feeling of your thoughts racing, making impulsive choices, that's often the emotional brain running the show.
That makes sense. You're not thinking clearly because you're basically in survival mode.
Right. And rushing is a classic symptom of that. Now, think about something called the reticular activating system, the RAS. It's like the brain's filter or spotlight. It decides what you pay attention to.
Okay.
When you're calm and focused, which slowing down helps you achieve, your RAS can better filter out the noise, the anxiety, the fear, chatter, and focus on what's actually important. Relevant information, opportunities you might otherwise miss.
So slowing down literally helps you see more clearly, mentally speaking.
In a way, yes. It creates space for your logical brain to work properly. It also ties into discipline versus impulse. By consciously slowing down, you're choosing a considered action based on your goals, rather than just reacting instinctively out of fear.
It's about taking back control from that automatic fear response.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay, so authority, check. Mental toughness, check. Mm. How does this deliberate pace help with something like building better habits?
This ties into a model I use called FEAR, focus, emotion, agitation, repetition.
Mm-hmm.
And the speed limit helps significantly, especially with that first step, focus.
How so?
Well, it's hard to focus intently on embedding a new habit if you feel rushed and scattered all the time.
Right.
Slowing down allows you to bring deliberate, mindful attention to the act of performing the new habit. That initial focus is much easier to achieve.
Instead of just squeezing it in somewhere.
Exactly. And taking that moment, that deliberate pause, also allows for a stronger emotional connection. You can connect with the why behind the habit, feel the motivation more deeply. Rather than just going through the motions, that's the E in FEAR.
Makes sense. What about agitation? That sounds counterintuitive to slowing down.
Agitation here means disrupting the old routine to make space for the new. Consciously choosing a different, slower pace for certain activities can actually be the agitation. It signals to your brain, hey, something's different here. Pay attention.
Ah, okay. So the slowness itself is the pattern interrupt.
It can be, yes. And finally, repetition. Consistent practice builds habits. But deliberate practice, performed with focus and at a controlled pace, builds stronger, more resilient neural pathways. It's not just about quantity of reps, but quality.
Quality over frantic quantity.
Precisely. And this applies to visualization too. Mentally rehearsing success, feeling that calm control,
mm-hmm.
It's much more effective when you're actually calm, not rushing through the mental exercise.
And you apply this across different life areas, brain, body, business, behavior.
Yes. Those are the four goal categories I often work with. The principle applies universally. Whether you're trying to learn something new, improve your fitness, make better business decisions, or change a behavioral pattern, consciously setting your speed limit, especially when fear or pressure arises, leads to better outcomes.
It really pulls it all together. The core message seems to be fight the urge to speed up when scared, slow down, gain control.
That's the essence of it. More authority, clearer thinking, better mental resilience, stronger habits, all stemming from that conscious choice to set your own pace.
This has been really insightful. I'm genuinely going to try that underwater movement thing tomorrow. Just see what happens, see how it feels.
I encourage you to do that. It's a simple exercise, but the impact can be quite profound. Pay attention to how you feel, how others react, how your decisions change.
Which leads to a final thought for everyone listening. We live in a world that constantly pushes for faster, quicker now.
It really does.
So the question is, beyond what we've discussed, where else in your life could you benefit from hitting the brakes? What deeper insights or better results might be waiting for you if you just throw intentionally slowed down?